Jerry Falwell convinced this Jewish man's father to believe in Jesus. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. My guest, Warren Marcus, has produced the highest-rated religious television special in history. You know, it says in the Bible, the Jew requires a sign. But Warren Marcus, this is so hard to believe. You were in Toronto, Canada, and you saw one of the greatest miracles I've ever heard of. Tell me about that.
We were just filming a regular conference. They had an intercession that's like prayer and such. And all of a sudden, people started having gold teeth or gold caps. Their fillings changed instantly. And it was just a little prayer this man said, and they laid their hands on their mouths, and all of a sudden, this thing started taking place.
How many people had gold teeth that
weekend? Over 300 that week, but it was amazing. It was like electric. I mean, you were sitting there, and I'm in a truck, and I had to come out of the truck because we were producing in the background with these six cameras.
You had to see it yourself.
I had to say, what is going on? Because it was people were screaming, and in the women's room, you hear, as they looked in mirrors. I mean, it was electric. I never experienced anything like that in my life. And so real. I mean, people who one second didn't have gold teeth, the next second they had somebody next to them look in their mouths and they said, you have gold. No, you're kidding me. No, you have gold. No, come on, you're kidding me. They'd run to the bathroom or they'd run up on the stage to have them confirm this. And it was just incredible.
You actually took the television camera and put it in their mouth.
Right. Well, what we saw was, as this was happening, I said, you better get one of the camera, get them up there now. Let's see what this is, because I wanted to see what was going on.
Did you want to see what was going on as a professional to get it on film, or did you just want to see what was going on?
Well, you have to realize that I didn't just automatically believe this. I've seen a lot of things in my life. I just said, is this real? But knowing the people that I knew, the pastor of that church and such, they're so low key. This is not usually the type of thing that happens there. So knowing their character and knowing some of the people that I knew that were there, like a pastor, my first pastor, who when I had started believing in Yeshua, Jesus, he was there for the first time in Toronto. He's told me that one of his members got that. And so when you know people that wouldn't normally fall for something, you have to say, this is something to this. This is something real.
You told me about a Muslim man that wandered in. Tell me about it.
There was a Muslim man that wandered into Toronto. He was invited by somebody, his whole family, and they prayed, and he got three teeth that were gold, fillings that were changed to gold. And because of it, he said, this Jesus must be real.
You know, that is the real purpose for a sign. You produced a 30-minute video, and people that watch this video actually are getting gold teeth. Let's take a look at that video right now.
You want to see? Well, and you'll have to, I don't know how we'll do this, but anyway, have you got a mirror yourself? Open your mouth for me. There they are. See, and the top is gold, too.
No, it's not. Is it really? Let me see. I looked in my mouth. I had my husband look at my mouth the first time. And there was nothing. Nothing happened. But then the Lord said to me, tell him to look again. So I said, okay, Lord. So he did. And he said, yeah, it was changing. I didn't believe him. And then somebody gave me a mirror. And it was really there. Did you see it? Did you see it?
I did.
See it?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Real, it's not going away, right?
Right. It's there. It's yours.
Something. I don't want to stop watching that video. Warren, it must have been, you said it was like electric in that place.
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, to experience that, to see people, I mean, you know, the testimonies of people, but the bottom line, Sid, wasn't just a miracle. It's what happened to people because of the miracle. All of a sudden, they knew that there was a God who created the universe, who was there, present, doing these things. And you know what that does? It says that any problem I'm facing, no matter how big it is, God can do something about it. He's not just some dispassionate God or someone impersonal or just an idol that someone prays. He's real living being that could change my life forever.
Speaking of changing your life forever, Warren Marcus, you've come a long way. Tell me about your family, religious-wise.
Well, my mother was brought up in an Orthodox Jewish home. And my father was just the opposite, agnostic Jewish home. As a matter of fact, his father said he was an atheist, but on his deathbed, of course, he called for the rabbi to pray for him. But that's the upbringing, and there was always a tension in the home about religious education and such like that.
As a young boy, though, you had a dream. Tell me about that.
Well, I was 5 years old, and I was frightened of lightning and thunder, and I came running into my house crying, and my sister, my agnostic Jewish sister, said, don't be afraid, Warren. You know, God will protect you. And I said, God? Well, you can't see God, Warren, but he's everywhere, and he's there to protect you. He lives in a place called heaven, and you don't have to be afraid. And I said, well, is he in my bedroom at night? You know? And she said, yes, he's there at night. And I started getting more afraid of this unseen person named God than I was of the lightning and thunder. And I had this dream. I can still remember this dream even now as I speak to you. And I was in the clouds. It was thunder and lightning. It was very frightening. And then this light in the center, right in front of me, this light, this intense light was revealed as clouds departed from around them, from around that light, and just parted out. And then these beams of light came out towards me and all around me, making a pathway. And I was like being drawn in, and I heard this voice inside me and outside me saying, don't be afraid. I am your friend. And I knew that that was God, because the feeling I got when I woke up, I wanted to get back in that dream so quickly. A little five-year-old boy. And the next day in kindergarten class, the teacher says, draw a picture. Mm-hmm. So I started trying to draw this picture of God that I had seen in my dream with a yellow crayon. And this other kid says, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? What's that supposed to be? I said, it's a picture. Picture of what? Picture of God? You can't draw a picture of God. Why not? He says, because you can't see God. Well, I saw God, and I'm drawing a picture. And then he said, teacher, he said he saw God. And I became the subject of ridicule. All these kids started laughing, and I started crying, and I said, I did see God in my dream. And there it was, Sid, this picture, the yellow mass, the teacher looking at the picture, looking at me like I'm nuts. But to this day, think of it. I didn't know this, but my first impulse was in having this boy childhood dream, a revelation of God. My first impulse was to not tell anybody about it, but was to draw a picture so others could see it. And what am I doing today?
What you are doing today is he became a very successful producer and director. But even more important than that, from a young child, he knew of God's call to put these films together. Don't go away. We're going to be discussing some amazing, amazing things that happened to this Jewish man that says Yeshua, Jesus, is the Jewish Messiah.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking to Warren Marcus. Warren, as a young child, had a dream, and he knew that God was speaking to him. And he drew a picture of this. And then, Warren, you went to a movie, Ben-Hur. What effect did that have on you?
My mom took me to see Ben-Hur. First, she saw the Ten Commandments, and it scared me. I said, well, but that is God. I mean, parts the Red Sea, miracles, you know. I said, and that's the God of Israel. That's what we Jews are supposed to be believing in, this God. Then she took me to Ben-Hur, and then I saw this man. You never saw Jesus in it, but I saw this man named Jesus, and it was a Jewish film, you know, Judah Ben-Hur. This right. Jewish guy looking at into the claims of this and seeing lepers being healed and all that. Well, I knew that I knew. At that point, I said, that peace that I felt from that film was the same peace I felt in my dream as a little boy. Mm-hmm. So I asked my mom, I said, was that Jesus real? She said, no, that's just a story.
Did you believe her?
Well, I did, but it's amazing. Not one friend around me, Christian friend, ever told me about Jesus for 22 years. Nobody ever told me about Jesus, but God was reaching out to me. I don't understand that, but he did. He was reaching out to me through films.
Now, you had a feeling, though, when you saw the power in those films, especially Ben-Hur.
Yes.
What, as a young child, what was that feeling you had?
Well, the thing was, I knew that there was a big God, and I was on a search. I mean, God had me on a search from the day I saw that dream to want to know who he really is. I didn't find him in a synagogue. I would go in a synagogue and I'd say, God, where are you? But he didn't, there was no burning bush, you know? But there was something there. And I started praying a prayer, Sid, faithfully every night. God, make me a really good filmmaker, a producer, director, and I will make films that say what you want me to say. Not what I want to say, but what you want me to say. I didn't even know who he was, and I didn't know what he wanted to say, but that was my prayer.
So you're in Hebrew school, you're preparing for bar mitzvah, and all of a sudden, a little kid raises his hand, teacher, teacher, what happened?
Aaron, he was a troublemaker in the class.
I was always one.
And he says, Rabbi, is Jesus our Messiah?
In your Hebrew
class? In my
class.
Hebrew class. So I just, all of a sudden, I came awake, you know, and I said, and I'm looking at this, and he says, no, Jesus was not our Messiah. He said, well, was he a Jew? And he says, of course he was a Jew. And I go, wait a minute, I didn't even know he was alive. And if he was alive, he wouldn't be a Jew. He'd be a Catholic or something, you know?
Of course.
But a Jew. And then he said, he was not our Messiah. He said, he was a nice man. He was a reformer. Some say he was even a prophet, but he was not the Messiah. The wolf must lay down with the lamb. There must be perfect peace on the earth, and then Messiah will come. Now, I never want to hear his name mentioned in his class again. And that blew me away.
Why?
He said he was a nice man. He was Jewish. He was a reformer. You know, some say even he was a prophet. But why can't we talk about him anymore? So I went to the library.
Good question.
On my bicycle.
How old were you?
I was 12 years old, preparing for bar mitzvah. And I went on my bicycle, went to the library, found a book, looked up Jesus Christ, found this book, I can't find it to this day, written to a Jewish kid, saying that he's Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, his name is Yeshua, meaning Jehovah saves. And it gave the meaning, and it told me the prophecies, the many prophecies like Isaiah 53 and such, the prophecies that were there in the Bible, that in the Old Covenant, that was right written there, that proclaim Jesus as Messiah. And I said, after I read that book, I said, Mom, Jesus is our Messiah.
What'd she say?
She said, what's a Messiah? She didn't know.
Hmm.
And I said, he's the one that we're waiting for, you know, the promised one. She goes, oh, where did you get that from? I said, a book in the library, Mom. You know, not a Jehovah's Witness or something like that, you know. But the key is that nobody was there to tell me how to get him in my heart. You see, there's one thing to have a knowledge that he is the Messiah. It's another to have that supernatural connection between you and God. And no one was there to tell me how to get that.
So you wandered into drugs, into the anti-war, and all of these things. And you were actually working, or was it going to school in New York?
Well, I started off going to school in New York, School of Visual Arts, to take my film. And it was a den of iniquity. People on drugs, all kinds of stuff, the anti-war movement. I got involved in everything. See, when you don't have God there, you don't have somebody to tell you the right direction, the devil then comes in, and there is a devil. There is an anti-God force in this world, supernatural force, and he was spinning this web of destruction in my life, trying to steal that which God wanted. But God has protection on me because he had people there on the streets holding up signs, repent and be saved, giving me tracts. I mean, it was deluged with this. And in Port Authority, New York, where I traveled from New York mm-hmm. to New Jersey during school, and then later on as I was producing a Madison Avenue, these high-quality spots and such like this, TV spots right. for deodorant and...
real important things.
Right. This one man was there, and he would be sharing with me every single argument I had. He'd be taking one at a time for 7 years.
You were a stiff-necked Jew.
I was. And then he just kept telling me. But the thing he finally told me, Sid, see, he says, you understand this intellectually. You accept the fact that he could be the Messiah. But Warren, you'll never understand that he is the Son of the living God. You'll never understand who he really is until you invite him in your heart. And I said, well, what do you mean invite him in my heart? He says, he's like a salesman. He comes with his greatest product, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's saying, I want to come in and demonstrate this product. I want to plug it into your and show you how well it cleans your house. It's called the Holy Spirit. And he said, and Warren, he wants to plug it in because your house really needs cleaning. And he said, but until you invite him in to demonstrate the product, you'll never truly understand the beauty of what this thing is all about. And Sid, that's what I did. I finally got so fed up. I was smoking marijuana every day. I mean, I said, there's got to be more, Lord. And I just said, God of Israel, if Jesus is indeed the Son of the living God, the Messiah, everything the Christians say he is, then I want him in my heart. If he's not, I don't want him in my heart. I don't want to do anything that would offend you, O God of Israel. You'll have to let me know what is right in this matter, but I invite him in my heart right now. And from that moment on, Sid, something happened to me, supernaturally. All of a sudden, the Bible that I had sitting on my table, I could understand what it meant, concepts that I could never understand before. The music I was listening to, the rock music, I mean, it didn't make sense to me anymore. I am the walrus. I am the Eggman. Goo 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 choo. You know, the Beatles were, what does this have to do with life? You know, I threw it away. I started throwing booze down the sink. I started throwing away my marijuana right down the toilet. I'm saying, I don't need this anymore. My eyes were like opened, and my whole, this peace that surpasses all understanding, it's like the whole key to the universe was unlocked to me. And my wife, my Catholic wife, comes home. She says, what is going on here? So don't throw my records away.
Of course.
She thought I went nuts. But the bottom line is, this is in 1974.
Warren, if your Catholic wife thought you went nuts, how about your Jewish parents? Don't go away. We'll be right back. One day, my Orthodox Jewish father said to me, if Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, prove it. So I opened up my copy of the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures. I might add, the one that my rabbi gave me. It has a wonderful endorsement from him. And I turned to a Jewish prophet by the name of Isaiah that penned this 800 years before Jesus came to earth. Let me read this to you. Who would have believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shot up right forth as a sapling and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we should look upon him, nor beauty that we should delight in him, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of pains and acquainted with disease, and as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. Surely our diseases he did bear, and our pains he carried. Whereas we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement of our welfare was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. My father said, stop! You're talking about Jesus! Yes, Dad, in the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures. Of course, we're talking about Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm chatting here with Warren Marcus, a Messianic Jew that is radically in love with Jesus. Well, Warren Marcus fulfilled his childhood thought, I want to do films, God, I'll do films. to reveal you to humanity. And he went on to work for CBN and produced award-winning productions. And then you actually went to work, and you're currently working for Jerry Falwell. That's but right. What about your Jewish parents?
Well, it was amazing. With my mom, she came to the Lord sometime later, but the whole thing was, at first I was scared to tell her, but God took care of that. When I started telling her my testimony of how I was on drugs and various things like that, she was more worried of the fact that I was on drugs. She didn't see the fact, I'm just saying that I received Jesus as my Messiah. She didn't say anything about that. She says, but I can't understand why you were on drugs. So God has a way of taking care of that. But the big one was my father. I mean, a lot of my family have come to the Lord. I have a cousin who's a pastor. I have a cousin on a Greenwich Village beatnik artist who's a believer. You wouldn't believe the numbers of people that came to the Lord that became a believer in Messiah. But my father was a hard one. He was a drinker all his life and all that. And What happened was he got to the point where he was dying. And my mother said, you better be very careful with Dad. You need to come and see him because he is really dying. But I don't want you to mention anything about him dying to him because we don't want him to lose heart.
What was he dying of?
Cancer. And I was saying, but Mom, I got to tell him about the Lord, you know. And she says, well, Warren, you could tell him, but you can't mention anything about him dying. And so I Jerry Falwell, we were right before a show, saw me very down. And he said, Warren, what's going on? Why are you down? I said, well, my dad's dying. And I shared the story. And yet I can't tell him anything. And I said, well, you want me to call him, Jerry said. Would you like me to call him and just talk with him? And I said, that can't hurt. So he called him and spoke with my dad. And I didn't realize the effect it had on my dad.
What effect?
He didn't believe it was Jerry Falwell calling him. Plus, there were all these Jewish relatives over in my house feeling guilty that my dad's going to die. They were visiting. So my mother says, Jerry Falwell's on the line, Jerry Falwell. And they're all going, Jerry Falwell, why would he call? Why would Jerry Falwell call? My father, he talked with Jerry Falwell. And the thing was, he set up with Jerry. Jerry set up a friendship, a relationship with him. And he wasn't really telling him the gospel. And I'm going, oh, come on, Jerry, tell him the gospel. But he ended praying for my dad's healing and said, can I call you back and see how you're doing? My dad said, well, you don't have to do that, but sure you can. Well, my dad was weeping, my mom told me, on the phone. When he got back, there were tears coming down. And they asked him what happened. He said, Jerry Falwell prayed for me. And they're all saying, wow, Jerry Falwell prayed for you? Well, the next thing I know, Jerry has me on an airplane flying up to New Jersey.
Why? Why did he do that?
He said to my dad, he called him back, and he said, if I come up to visit you, would you allow me to share about the Messiah that your son believes in and your daughter, my sister Fran, believes in also, and your wife believes in now? Would you let me come up there and just share it with you? And he said, well, you don't need to come up here, but that's up to you, but sure, of course.
Why would you? I mean, he's a busy, you know how busy he is.
I know.
And he just stopped his whole schedule to fly to talk to a dying Jewish man.
Well, it tells you what kind of character he is. People don't know that about Jerry, but I know him. I mean, he's a man of God. I mean, he's a really good man. And we flew up there, and Jerry started opening up the scriptures to my father. He shared the Isaiah 53 scripture. He shared that, who is this Charlie, he asked, just like you did with your dad. And my father said, well, that's talking about Jesus. He said, well, that's in the Old Covenant scriptures. That's not in the New Testament. My dad said, wow. And all of a sudden, all the things that my sister and I tried to tell my dad and he wouldn't listen to, he was listening with Jerry. And then Jerry said, would you like to receive the Messiah into your own life? Would you like to become a believer in the Messiah, just like your son is, and just like your daughter is, just like your wife is? Would you like to do that? And he says, yes, I would. And he called up my mother and I to come up. He said, come on, you got to come up. Jerry's going to minister to me. This is what he used the word minister, you know. But I stayed in the kitchen, and I was just praying. And he received the Messiah into his heart, just like I had done, just that I had done in 1974. And there he was praying. And then I kept saying,
but you weren't there. Are you
no,
sure
I stayed
he did?
I stayed in the kitchen. I said, God, is this real? Is he just doing this because Jerry's there? So in the rush of things, we had to leave. I said my goodbyes. And I forgot my briefcase, so I had to run back in. And I prayed, God, let me know. Just let me have something that I would know that he is truly a believer. I walk in, and there's my father sitting, my last memory of my father, with this joy. He looked healthy as could be, and his big smile on his face. And he says, well, Warren, I prayed that prayer. He said, I guess I wasn't much of a Jew anyway. I said, Dad, you're more of a Jew now that you prayed that prayer than you were before. He's our Messiah. He goes, yeah, that's true. And he says, well, I guess they'll want the rabbi to bury me, but I'd like him to be involved too, meaning Jerry. I said, Dad, don't talk about death. God could heal you. He goes, no, I know what's going to happen, but I know where I'm going now, son. I know where I'm going.
Do you know where you're going? If you'll pray with me right now, out loud, right where you are, and mean it to the best of your ability, God will touch you and you will know him, not just believe in him. I don't care if you're Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, or Jewish, or Muslim. Pray this prayer out loud with me now. Out loud. You, dear God, I'm a sinner against you, and you alone have I sinned. And I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And because of his blood, you remember my sins no more. And I'm clean. And now that I'm clean, I make you Lord of my life. Dear Jesus, come inside of me right now and take over my life completely. I made a mess of it. I'm turning it over completely to you. Fill me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes with your Holy Spirit. Now, you begin to thank him. You begin to lift your holy hands to God and say, thank you, God. I love you, God. Oh, Jesus, I'm so grateful. This is the most important day of my life. I want to spend the rest of my life loving you and worshiping you. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Amen.